Thank you, Brother Roger. That was beautiful. And not unusual for you. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor John, for allowing me this opportunity. And thank you for those of you here today, visitors and regular members. I hope I have the words God wants me to speak and only the words God wants me to speak today. If you're turning your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 7:14, this is probably a very familiar scripture to most of you. If it is not, I hope it becomes a familiar scripture to you. It's a promise made with a condition. Dear Father, I thank you this day for this opportunity to share your word, to honor your word, to consider your word, to proclaim your word. For your word does not go forth void, but it accomplishes your purpose. We trust in you, Father, for guidance. We look to you for leadership. Guide us in your ways. Teach us your ways. Help us to better understand each day your ways, that we may imitate your ways and point everyone toward Jesus. I ask it in his name. Amen. As has been the custom in our church, if you will stand for the reading of God's word. This is the answer to a prayer in the previous chapter from Solomon. We'll talk about that in a minute. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. You may be seated. As I said in the previous chapter, Solomon had offered up a prayer. If you've never read that prayer, I'd suggest taking a look at it sometime in the next coming days. 2 Chronicles 6:12-42. But in verse 36 of that chapter 6, Solomon makes a statement that, or the request, that when we sin, and all men sin. And then he goes on to complete his prayer about he hopes that God will accept us back if we will but ask for forgiveness. And this is God's response to that prayer, part of God's response to that prayer. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I, God, will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. No country at no time in history has ever needed to hear this more than this country now. We have been in a dark space, dark time, especially since World War II. seeming like a steadily declining society, moving away from God, dishonoring God, forgetting God, ignoring God. And we've gotten ourselves into a situation that Solomon talks about in his prayer. He foresaw that Israel would stumble and fall and be taken captive by another nation far away. Our nation was founded on Christian principles. Now, some people today will tell you that the founding fathers didn't believe. Well, go look at some of the prayers of George Washington. Go look at some of the statements of Benjamin Franklin. Thomas Jefferson, he took a knife and cut parts of this book out. It didn't suit him, but he believed in God. And he believed in the power of God. This nation was founded on Christian principles. But as I say, it seems like since World War II especially, we've turned away from those principles. And people have gone to using this scripture to remind ourselves and others of the promise of God. And his statement is, if my people... The title of the message today is Who's Who? Who are his people? You know, when I was a kid, if you went down the street and you stopped anybody on the street and said, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah. Now, not so much. But the point is, even then, did they really know what a Christian was? Are we Christian enough to show the world what a Christian is? Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Do we even know how to do that? In Mark, let me get this, make sure I'm getting you the right reading here. Mark 3, 33 through 34. And if you want to look that up, you're welcome to look that up. But my suggestion to you today is probably just have a pen ready. There's plenty of space left on the back of the bulletin to take notes. Just put down these scriptures and go back and read them later. But in Mark 3, the religious people, you know, those that call themselves Christians and really didn't know what a Christian was, the religious people were saying that Jesus was casting out demons by Beelzebub. Of course, Jesus quickly went on to explain that the devil can't cast out the devil. If he did, he'd destroy his own kingdom. But that's not the point. The point is it appears that Jesus' family had heard some of this, and they went to check on Jesus. Now, it doesn't actually give the exact motive, whether they just went because they were worried about him being hurt, whether they worried about him being hungry. You know, he left home, he wandered out in the wilderness some. But I truly think they thought he was a little bit nuts. And he's going to gather him up because he was an embarrassment to the family. So here we have verse 33. After he's been told that his mother and his brothers and sisters were there to gather him, he says in verse 33, who are my mother and my brothers? Then he looked to those seated in the circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Whoever does God's will is my mother and brothers and sister. Not just because you decide to call yourself a Christian, but are you living like a Christian? Are you listening to Him? Do you study His Word? Do you try to follow His ways? Do you take His advice? Do you follow His instruction? Or you call yourself a Christian and do what you want to do? You know, we sort of deceived ourselves through religion, and we've given people the impression that, well, if you accept Jesus as your Savior, you're going to heaven. And that's not right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I'm disappointing anybody here today. But if all you've done is decided, well, I made a public profession of Jesus, He's my Savior, and then you can go sit on the pew, or even worse, just not even bother to come back to church. If you think that's going to get you into heaven, I'm sorry. That's not going to do it. You've got to claim Him as Lord. You've got to believe and live like you believe. James 2. Through 17. I'll read it for you. Speaking and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister who is without clothes and daily food, and if one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action, is dead. Jesus in Matthew 22 told the religious people, told him, "You say that He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living." James says, faith without works is dead. So if you claim just by faith, just by believing, you're going to get into heaven, I'm sorry to disappoint you, you're not going to make it. Remember, Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus died for you on the cross. Now, again, you can believe He died for you on the cross and think that's all it takes to get you there. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. What have you done for your brother and sister in Christ today? What have you done for the lost person who has never heard the gospel? Pastor John had a fantastic sermon last Sunday. And in it, embedded in all of that, was study the Word of God, seek God for instruction, and follow the instruction. Don't just be hearers, but be doers of the Word of God. Now, these are God's people. So when God calls you and says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, pray that God gives you guidance. Jesus told His disciples in Luke 6, He said, why you call me Lord, Lord, and then you don't do what I say? How foolish is that? How foolish is that? So, now, I hope you understand who God's people are. You know, the Jews, when this was written, God's people were the Jews, the Israelites. And of course, God, if you're familiar with God's word, anybody that wanted to be in Israel was welcome, except for the Canaanite tribes. If they'd come in because they heard the greatness of God, if they came to the temple and they wanted to become a Jew, they could basically become a Jew by simply submitting to circumcision and living by the law. But the people in Israel were the people that God was talking to at that time. But Israel rejected Jesus. Romans chapter 11 talks about the natural branches were broken out and the wild branches were grafted in. Well, we're the wild branches. We're the ones that got grafted in because of Israel's disbelief. Because Jesus sent Paul out to spread the gospel. Peter first, but Paul basically to spread the gospel to the Gentiles. The people who had not known God. So we're grafted in. So that makes us, if we believe and follow Jesus, that makes us God's people. Now, if you don't believe, or if you believe and don't follow, then he's not talking to you. I hope I made that clear enough. Then he says, if you'll seek my face. Now, seek my face. But God, we're not Moses, the holiest man in the Bible until Jesus came along. When Moses asked to see God in Exodus 33, God says, I'll put you in a cleft, I'll cover your face with my hand, and I'll let you see. King James says, my hinder parts. That's certainly not his face. So what's he talking about? What in the world is he talking about if you seek my face? And I studied the scriptures and studied the scriptures and studied the scriptures. First place is John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. I mean, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He goes on. We're getting the right place here. I don't want to misquote Scripture. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Is the face of God Jesus? Let's look a little closer. Turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Got too many tabs here, brother. Uh, I want to read this stuff to you instead of trying to quote it, because I'll be in trouble if I try to quote it. Y'all bear with me just a minute while I'm sitting up here embarrassing myself and I get to the right thing. Excuse me, it's Colossians chapter 1. Find it the fastest way. Verse 15. This is talking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven, on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Now I want you to realize, throughout the Old Testament, we got to see Jesus. The people there got to see Jesus. They may not have realized it was Jesus at the time. The name Jesus, Joshua means salvation. Hebrews, the people of Israel now, if you say Jesus, I understand a lot of those people get insulted. You use the name Jesus, it's Yeshua. Same man. Just different language in the way the name's pronounced. But the people of the Bible, Moses, not only saw the hinder parts of God, but before all that, in the very beginning of Moses' relationship with God, he was involved with a burning bush. The burning bush was a thing that modern theologists call a theophany. And if you put theophany up there, theophany is, and that this is my fault too, it's a vision or a manifestation of a deity. And I misspell it. I can't blame y'all. I noticed that yesterday, buddy. But it's a vision, a theophany, a vision or a manifestation of a deity. It can also be audible. It's not always just necessarily a vision. For example, Elijah on the mountainside at the mouth of the cave, when he was looking to hear from God, you know, the fire came, the storm came, it wasn't neither one of those, but a still small voice. That was a theophany. The angel in Genesis 15, fire on the mountain. In Genesis 32, the man who wrestled with Jacob, Jesus. Jesus is the man who wrestled with Jacob. Of course, we already talked about 1 Kings. In Daniel, the fourth man in the furnace. Why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? I don't know. Maybe he was setting an example for us to be born again. Maybe that was part of it. Don't take my word for it. You be the judge. Let the Spirit teach you. But he told Nicodemus, Nicodemus was trying to suck up to him. In John 3, he says, I know you must be a God. We know you must be a God. He couldn't do the thing. And instead of Jesus answering, responding to Nicodemus like he expected, he says, you must be born again. Well, how can a man be born again? You know, forget everything you think you knew and learn what I'm going to teach you. Jesus in the Spirit couldn't be tempted as we're tempted. He couldn't suffer as we suffer. He had to come down and live a life of a human. Why? Why did the chicken cross the road? Prove to the possum it could be done. Yes. We can with His help. We can with His help. Lay down our life and pick up the cross and follow Him. It's possible. If it weren't, He wouldn't have asked us to. Yes, we're going to still stumble. We're going to still skin our knees. Sometimes we're going to wake up with a sore back from doing it. But He'll get us through it. So the point I'm trying to make, if we'll turn to Jesus, because Jesus loved us this much in Philippians, Paul writing, of course, Paul's the same one that wrote Colossians, but a little different perspective, because Colossians really tells you just really who He is. This is what He did. We should all take the same attitude of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, when Moses asked God, when I go back to the people in Israel, the Israelites in Egypt, what do I tell them? Tell them my name, I am that I am. But later on, he says, I'm the Lord. Adonai. Jesus, Adonai. God, Adonai. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Adonai. God, all one. All with the same goal in mind. First the creation, then the salvation of those who seek Him. But the face of God is Jesus. That was what we were physically able to see. We saw Him walking on this earth. We saw Him hanging on the cross, bleeding for our salvation. We saw Him ascend to the Father to pray for us and intercede for us when we stumble and fall. He wants us all to be saved. He wants us all to be the people that God is speaking to here. He wants us all to be my people. But we've ignored Him. We've dishonored Him. We've made Him into something that He's not. And therefore, we've made ourselves into something we shouldn't be. If you're listening, and I realize there's more people than what's listening to me today in here. There's people who listen on the internet. There's people listening now. There's people probably going to hear this or see this on YouTube. No matter when you hear it, understand this nation needs God. And for this nation to have God, the remnant, God's always been patient with the remnant because the remnant has always been faithful to Him, and God is faithful above all. If we will turn to Him, if we will humble ourselves and pray, and seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways. That's that word, repentance. We talked about it a little bit in the men's class this morning. You know, we can say we're going to do something. We can offer a sacrifice. But we need to remember why we offered the sacrifice and do it with the right heart and the right mind. We need to submit ourselves to God and His will. And if we'll do that for our sakes, you know, God loves intercessors. When you think about Moses, that God became so angry with the children of Israel that He was willing to destroy them all and make Moses the head of everything, you know. You're going to kill all everybody but Moses. And Moses interceded and said, Lord, you don't want to do that. You know, he prayed for the people. God loves intercessors. Abraham was an intercessor for Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, if 40 good men we spared and finally got down, there wasn't anybody there worth getting out but Lot and his wife and children. Two daughters, and Lot's wife didn't even make it out without looking back. But God loves intercessors, and that's what He's calling us to do here. If we'll humble ourselves and pray and repent, that's how we get our nation back. Because our nation has been in a foreign country all for 40, 50 years now. Just like Israel was in Babylon, America was in Babylon. And I've seen, praise God, signs that maybe He's beginning to bring us back. So I'm asking you, if you are God's people, if this promise is to you, if you know you fit in, then humble yourselves and pray. If you're not God's people, then I urge you to invite Jesus into your life today. There may not be a tomorrow. We can all get up and leave here thinking we're going to go have lunch or don't go home. You may never make it. One of the biggest lies Satan has is you've got plenty of time. Well, you know, you may, but you may not. Do you know? Brother Roger and the rest of the praise team are going to come down in just a minute. They're going to do some music. In the meantime, I'm going to invite you. I'm going to invite you, first of all, if you are a God-fearing, God-believing follower of Jesus Christ, remember, pray, study, and tell someone else about the love of Jesus. If you're not, then I'm going to invite you to come down in just a few minutes. I'm going to ask Pastor John to come up here with me, and I'm going to be up here. If I will be able, was here, I don't know what. We'll have some other men if we need. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never in your life professed Jesus as your Lord, today's the day. He is God. He loves you so much that He came and lived on this earth, suffered as we suffered, was tempted as we're tempted, but resisted and without sin, bled for our sin on the cross. I'm asking you, He was that willing to do for you. How willing are you to do for Him? If you're afraid to stand up, take heart. His Spirit will meet you right in the center aisle. I urge you, don't leave this place without having a relationship with Jesus this day. Let us pray. Father, thank You for this opportunity to present Jesus in a way that we can understand. We can't just be hearers. We've got to be doers. But the doing we have to do is follow Him. Forgive us for our sins, Lord, and give anyone who wants to accept Jesus the courage to step forward today. I ask it in His name.